This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:36 in the morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Philip C. and Chong Jensen. Let's talk about education in Malaysia. The Ministry of Education is arguably the most scrutinized and emotive portfolio in government, given the crucial role it plays in shaping the next generation of Malaysians. So perhaps it isn't surprising that the appointment of first-time elected MP Fadlina Siddiq as the new Minister of Education raised some eyebrows.
She was elected as the MP for Nibong Tebal in the recent elections. Previously, she was appointed as the Penang State Assembly representative to the Dewan Negara in September 2021. Fadlina was elected as head of Wanita PKR in July this year in a close fight against compatriot Rozia Ismail.
Prior to joining PKR in 2020, she was well known as a lawyer and activist specialising in family law as well as child protection and safety. As a newly minted education minister, Fadlina has the enormous task of tackling issues like reading proficiency, learning poverty and the toll of lockdowns on learning. So, can the first-time MP and minister rise to the many challenges ahead?
For reactions and recommendations for the new minister, we speak to Shahnaz Al-Sadat, chairperson at Leap Ed Services. Shahnaz, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, Fadlina Siddiq is the new Minister of Education, the first woman to hold the post, which is a good thing. What was your reaction to the announcement? Has the right person been appointed to the job?
Well, good morning. Assalamualaikum to all listeners and to you as well. Thank you for inviting me this morning. My reaction to the appointment, interestingly, in the first minute, I actually went blank because I was like, I've not heard her speaking at all in the education space per se. Yeah. It might just be me, but I really have not. So I really wouldn't have even have a clue of what her lens and her stand would actually be. Mm. But I must say, I think her achievements, I guess, as a activist as well as a political figure in the last couple of years, particularly, has been quite impressive, and I think that gives some credibility for sure. I've been asking around, so people who've been working with her for the last couple of years actually said that she'd be a good minister. So I'm hopeful, I must say. And given that her lens of coming from women and children, so yeah, I mean, my interest here is because we always believe that education should put the student first. Mm. And therefore, I'm hoping that she will then have the right lens of making sure that we do education in and with the interests of the children.
Okay.
And yeah, and particularly women, you know, I mean, there are 70% teachers are women. Mm. So... quite empathetic for it. So I'm hopeful. That would be my statement.
Hopeful. You know, you said she doesn't have the experience in education, but what qualities are critical for a good education minister then?
Well, I think, I mean, for her, I believe she has to accelerate her learning curve here. And I'm hoping she's open to therefore engaging many of us. I mean, I can really offer my two social enterprises, LeapEd and Teach for Malaysia. We've been around for 10 years and more now. So to offer maybe all the information that we have on the ground to accelerate her learning curve. And I said, I mean, then question of rallying, I think this, okay, the, you said enormous challenge. I really think like it's ginormous challenge. I mean, this is a ministry of more than 500,000 personnel and more than 10,000 institutions, schools and others. And you're looking at least 5 million beneficiaries, which are the students, not including their families. So the impact's really huge. And the problem that, she's inheriting, I guess, from the last decade and the pandemic challenges are pretty acute. So I think here, she has to accelerate the learning curve for sure. And looking at from a solution perspective, the truth is we have some good stuff actually on the ground. Let's not do slogans. Let's really look at what we already have on the ground and really, really evaluate and be critical about the direction and then what actually we need to do more of that, I think, rather than, you know, replacing with completely new. But it's just, I do think she seems to display that kind of credibility. So I think I'm hopeful.
Yeah, and Shahnaz, how important will the deputy minister post be then? Will it be necessary to have a deputy with some experience in education then?
Yes, I think that will be an advantage per se. I don't necessarily think it's not a must do. But of course, I think it'll be a good advantage to have.
Okay. Under the new cabinet, Shahnaz, the higher education and education portfolios remained separate, which some people disagree with. Where do you stand on this debate? Would the education system be better served under one ministry?
Well, I mean, I don't think structure is the big levers of change here. I think strong leadership is. Mm-hmm. So if you want to argue about lack of cohesion, actually, I would argue MOHE and MOHR has a even worse lack of cohesion. MOE and MOHE at the very least have done that blueprint alignment, albeit implementation-wise, it's still uncertain, given that even on the MOE side, it's still a bit weakened. So, but for me, we'll take a strong leadership to just address those contact points, those connecting points that we need to make sure there is a continuity, right? On this, there are a couple areas I think that's worth discussing. One is TVET quality, because there is but that's not just MOE and MOHE. That's MOE, MOHE, and I don't know of 10 other ministries probably. And then there is that pre-tertiary grey area that I think is still a half-half. So in terms of quality or standards, I think still need to be discussed. But again, I don't think the administration of these two entities in relation to its beneficiaries are quite different, actually. So I think there's also a good argument about keeping them separate.
And you say just now the task is ginormous. Thank you for adding to our lexicon. I wonder I wonder whether she should also be tackling very sensitive issues like UEC.
Something that we actually do need to address. But I just be frank. I think the priorities today, because of the issue that's huge, I think we just need to make sure our priorities are right. Because, you know, for whatever it's worth, we have limited time, we have limited resources, and therefore, let's look at the priorities. For me, there are three things that we just need to work on. Number one, on the short-term priority, our data points that's coming in, I mean, Lipa has been doing independent research around this. We have like 12,000 respondents looking at learning deficits. Our learning deficits are bad at the moment, you know, and it's not just the learning losses, but also the learning interest that is waning by our children. So in the next 6 to 12 months, to me, if I'm Hershey, I'm just thinking about how do I help teachers and schools to actually arrest this deficit, because you don't have time here. You really need to arrest this. How do you access what? That's priority number one. Mm. Priority number two will be the medium-term plan, and that includes a review, for example, like the EC concerns around the continuity. But I think the medium-term review, she needs to rally the whole ministry here, because as I said, it's a big ship to move. And how should we do it? We should look at the data points coming from school. That means the student needs and the school needs. And then marry it and look at what initiative do we have on the ground. Initiative that's working well, let's do more of it. Mm-hmm. Initiative that is not working well, let's stop. You know, we are terrible at stopping initiatives, actually. And then if there are initiative that is not addressing the needs, there are needs, but there are no initiative, then, okay, let's think about how to address those. If there are things on the ground that's not good, but they're not doing very well in terms of implementation, let's enhance and improve it. So I think, and that will set the medium term, I think, footprint. And that can include reviewing some of these. But I think the long-term thing that we need to work on right now is our curriculum review. We are up for a 5-year, it's been 5 years and we are supposed to review our curriculum. Mm-hmm. And I think in the last couple of years, we've been doing changes haphazardly a little bit. I would like to see a little bit of effort to review this more on the long term. When I talk about curriculum, I'm not just talk about content, but it's content, pedagogy, which is delivery, how you deliver things, and then the assessment. These are all connected. You can't change one of it without addressing the rest. And this even lend, I think, towards a total. I mean, let's see, UEC to me is only one small sliver of the whole quality standards argument that we need to look at in the transition of kids coming out at the age of 17, actually. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to address that a bit more holistically. Yeah. That's my view.
And Shaz, budget 2023 will get a do-over. So if you refer to the proposed budget back in October, the Education Ministry was originally allocated the biggest slice of the pie with $55.6 billion. What do you hope will be included and excluded in the new budget?
55.6 billion, as I understand it, 90% are emoluments. So that is 50 billion paid towards, you know, salaries and the likes. So you're left with 5.6 billion. You're really looking at transformation. So again, I look at the point based on my priorities. So if I talk about teachers support, honestly speaking, you have about 400,000 teachers roughly. Our data point shows about 20 or 30% of these teachers are at the right level of standards, but that's about it. So I want to raise that to 80%. So that's about 200,000 teachers. If you just invest 2 or 3,000 per teacher, that's only half a billion.
Yeah.
Out of that 5.6 billion, just give half a billion, support your teachers. Okay.
But, right.
I mean, that's my number one. Hmm. The rest, to be honest, okay, I'm an ex-CFO. So I always talk to everybody and said, you shouldn't see how much money I have, therefore I should spend it. Actually, you should say, what do you need to spend it on?
Yeah,
prioritize it. That's why I said the medium-term plan, I think, becomes important to determine what should the budget be allocated towards, actually.
But Shana, actually, budget isn't the problem here, isn't it? It's the political bureaucracy that you have to, they have to break down, isn't it? That's her biggest challenge, isn't it? We've talked about this at length so many times. It's not the budget.
Yes, correct. Yes. Yeah, and education is not a short-term play, I think, you know. So we have to look at it a bit on those lens as well.
So Shanaz, what would be the three main pieces of advice you'd give to the new minister, perhaps, as she starts her job? What would you advise her?
Well, number one, accelerate learning curve. And I do not know her baseline is. So, because I may be wrong. She might know a lot about education, right? It's just that she hasn't been speaking about it. So I don't know. But what her baseline is saying, but to me, accelerating learning curve is huge. So find ways to get as much information as she can actually get to assess the situation. Number two, she has to rally the sheep, I think. And what I mean here is that the leadership, the KSU, the DG, the deputies, I mean, they have to have a shared vision. Because with education, I don't think it's just about moving fast, but we actually have to move big and long-term, right? Mm. So how do you... Yeah, so I think rallying the sheep is quite important, to shared vision.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, enjoy, I think, your work. Because without joy, I think you'll be stressed. I think you have to enjoy this.
Shanaz, that's good advice for all of us, I think. Thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Shanaz Al-Sadat, Chairperson at Leap Ed Services, talking to us about some of the policies and some of the actions that she'd like to see from the new Minister of Education, Fadlina Siddiq. She's got a long, tall mountain ahead of her, but no doubt, I'm sure she has the support of everyone because it's in all of our interest to see the education system improve and succeed. It is 8:49 in the morning. We're heading into some messages. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.